Let's just pray before we go any further. Lord God, we thank you for your mercy and your grace. I pray, Lord, at this time you give me strength to deliver your word, Lord God, as it needs to be done, Lord God, in power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, speak to our lives afresh, we ask, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going back to a topic which is always with us, has to be by the very nature of the topic, and I've covered it in the year, over the years a few times in a few different ways and do different things. I want to look at time. And years ago I would have called this sermon Time Gentlemen Please, but obviously most of you won't even know what that's referring to any longer, which you don't, which it doesn't really matter. It's a funny thing, is time. I'm a septenarian. It's not a disease. You might think so when you get to this stage of life. I don't feel like I'm 70, but I am. And my body reminds me occasionally, as it does in this week, that actually you're not a spring chicken any longer, and that time is going on. And in fact, in biblical terms, I've had my fair share. 70 and 10, the Bible says, does it not?
Yes.
And anything extra is a bonus. And so, I thought you were waving at me, Beck. You go in, see you later. But in time is constantly moving. It's going on. And regardless of how we might want to stand still, or we might want to do something else, or we wish it would slow down, or we wish it would speed up, it goes on. And God has only given us an allotment of a certain amount of time for our lives. And we don't know what that is. We can't necessarily predict it. I believe that for the believer, God has set his hand upon us, and that we will not go until what he wants to accomplish in us and with us will be accomplished, so long as we're in his will. But other than that, who knows? We're not promised tomorrow, are we? And sometimes you look at the world and you think, Lord Jesus, come quickly.
Amen.
Return, because this is a mess. This is such a complete travesty away from what you have created the planet to be and what you have created mankind to be. And yet it's such a far, far thing away from what God has planned and what God has made and what God has created. He will bring all things back to himself. He will make all things new. But in the meantime, you and I can get very impatient. You and I can become despondent. You and I can become fed up, quite frankly, at times the way things are. And we just say, God, I wish you'd hurry this all up. But God has allotted us to this portion, and we need to make the best of what God wants for us. We need to handle our time correctly. It's an easy one to get wrong. And we can always, what's the right word, chastise ourselves. Well, I should have done this more, than I should have done that more. It's no point harping back. It's about looking forward. Let's look at a scripture, Romans 13:11-12. And do this understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because your salvation is nearer now than when you first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put away the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. It's almost done. That's a good bit of news for us many times when things are hard and things are difficult, things are tough. What is time? Well, somebody described it like this. Time is a stretch of duration. I mean, that's really enlightening, isn't it? In which things happen or don't in some cases. The quality of life is a reflection of what happens during that duration. Not very clear, is it, that? Basically, in other words, our lives are to be of value and service and need to be a disciplined life to get the best use of our time by not wasting it. I know we can can't regulate if you're at work. You've got to work. It's a reality of life. Many of us, certainly in the earlier stages of life, you have to go to work to earn your money, to buy the things of necessity, your food, your clothing, the housing, and all of those things. And that is out of your control. But the way you use your surplus hours will either make you powerful man of God or a lazy person. It's what we choose to do with it. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says, "Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." In other words, do it while you're young. Not while you're old, when you think, oh, can't be bothered. It's too much effort. It's hard work. Even your limbs ache to get out of bed. Habits formed in the earlier stages of your life can make or mar you. Your life can be of worth, or you can look back and say, well, what a waste of time. What have I done over the years? What could I have done? 1 Chronicles 29:15. "For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding." It's strange how time seems to go slow when you're young. Do you remember those of you, maybe you don't, I don't know, when I used to have school holidays in the summer? It seemed once you got there, it went on and on and on, and lovely lazy days to do what you liked and mess around. And it seemed an age. And you were like waiting for your next birthday in anticipation of clocking up another year. So you could say, I'm 9, I'm 10, I've reached double figures. And it was all exciting and you wanted it to go quicker. And now, this last year, where has it gone? Shoom! It's gone slow at the beginning, but now somebody's put the pedal to the accelerator and time just seems to go and quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker. And the year before you know it has gone very, very quickly. I think Pink Floyd did a song like it on time, didn't they? And they poetically put it down very nicely, but time does seem to accelerate. You see, our time can be used productively or unproductively. The problem with a sermon like this is it can be an awful guilt trip too. Because you can always say, well, I could have served God more, I could have prayed more, I could have done this more, and I could have done that more. God isn't a killjoy. He does allow us to have leisure time. He does allow us to relax on occasions. All right, but the focus of our whole life, though, regardless of all of that, remains this phrase, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Okay, let's try not to be religious this morning, but realistic. We need to buy the opportunities that God gives us. Use the time appropriately to advance the kingdom. If we learn to use our time well, it is a good investment for the future. It teaches us so much and we become more productive. Time can be lost, but never retrieved. William James said this, "The great use of one's life is to spend it for something that will outlive us." It's not how long you live, but how fully and how well you've lived. There are people who've made huge impact in the world and in the kingdom of God who've lived very, very short lives, but that impact has been more accumulative than the time they actually spent, hasn't it? I mean, look at the Lord. 33 years. It's not long, is it? I think most of us, not all of us, but a lot of us here are beaten that already. And some of us by a long chalk. We need, though, to recognize the brevity of life. Psalm 90:12 says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." See, not to be prophet of doom this morning, you could be hit by a bus tomorrow. You could fall asleep and never wake up. That's the best way to go, I think. I think that'd be a nice way of doing it. You don't know how long you've got left on this planet. We don't. And that's an imponderable. And that's, some people it worries them, some it don't. You stand before God at that point and you're accountable as to what you've done with that time. So let's get a hold of a wise perspective and use our days to the full. Mindful of God's will. Time is easily squandered, but impossible to get back. It's easy to take our ease and the years just drift along and go and disappear. And the things that we thought we would do, the things, the projects that we were going to get involved in, the choices that we were going to make, somehow they've drifted off into a different place and gone. They just remain a dream. How many times have you heard people say, "I don't have time"? It's the common excuse of mankind, very often heralded, but very seldom true. It's usually the cry on an inefficient person, a person or the unmotivated. "I don't want to do it, so I'm not going to find the time," if the truth be known. We all have enough time to fulfill the will of God for our lives. Otherwise, it wouldn't be the will of God for our lives, would it? Because he wouldn't set you an impossible task. See, it's more about choices than the availability of time. People, it's funny, having lived a few years, you get a bit long in the tooth, is it that? That's not the right phrase. I couldn't remember the right phrase there. Long in hair, I was thinking for a moment. You begin to make observations on life and behaviour of people and how things are. And what I've observed is that people always find the money to spend on what they want. And in a like vein, they always find time to do what they want. And this notion of "I don't have time" is merely an excuse for a choice you don't want to make. Often we try and fool ourselves that it's true that we don't have enough time. But it's never the supremely busy men that have no time. It's funny that. Somebody once said, "If you want something done, give it to a busy man." There's something about being organized. Something about being disciplined in your life that will help us to function with our time and get the things that are needful to be done and still allow us to have that recreation and that relaxation, which we do actually need. Now, we always have to recall that our earthly duties are subordinate to our heavenly. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Remember, that's the basic truth there. All the other things will come. It's the selection of our priorities. I'm amazed at the blessing of God on our life. And it's not that I've gone road or I have sought out the blessings that God has given us. The places we've travelled in the world, we never expected to get to. You know, I've been to Russia twice, been to China, I've been to America myriads of times. Never expected any of that. Yet, in serving God, things have worked out that way. But we've not been we never chased a career. But God has provided bountifully. What's your selections of your priority? See, we need to look at the value of the opportunities that come in our way of life and the responsibilities that we have in the kingdom of God and to weigh them carefully. I'm always worried when people are looking at their life and an opportunity arises and they say, well, I'm going for that. It means more money. It means that. But yeah, and it means I can move to a place I'd love to go to and do this and do that. Yeah, but what about your spiritual life? Oh, it doesn't matter. Really? There's something wrong. See, we are responsible for making right choices. Okay. That's not to say that we can fritter away our days at work. I remember some guy saying that, oh, I love to go to work and serving God, and I always take my Bible with me, and I sit in the lavatory for half an hour reading my Bible and praying for... You're being paid to work, man. Get on with it. It's a wrong use of time, a wrong priority, a wrong idea. But hey-ho, some people have some strange ideas. 1 Corinthians 7:29. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. It remaineth that both they that have wives be as though they had none, and they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashions of this world passes away. What's your priorities? Now, he's saying there, if you're married, then he's talking about priorities. Even in that, God is our priority. Is he not? God is preeminent in all things. Now, he's not saying neglect your wives. All right? But don't conform to the world's standards and the world's so-called wisdom. Weigh things correctly. Be flexible enough to listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Don't squander time on secondary things. Select and reject. Look at things through spiritual priorities. Now, nothing I've said there has surprised you. Nothing I've said there is anything deep and outstanding, and wow, that was real meat of the word and amazing insight there. How on earth did you get there? But it's amazing how the straightforward things in life are rejected and neglected, and therefore at the cost of our spiritual growth and development. You've heard of David Livingstone, most of you. Some of you will, some of you won't. A missionary into Africa. David Livingstone worked in a cotton mill from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. But then in his so-called leisure hours, he learnt to read Latin fluently, and by the age of 27 had completed a medical course and a theological course. Am I advocating theological courses? No, but that's what he did with his time. He managed to do that whilst working in a hard job from 6 to 8 p.m. every day. You see, we have little basis for pleading no time. Let's go and look at the law. That's a good idea, isn't it? Always a good idea. Jesus was never in a hurry, though he was constantly harassed by demanding people. He always had time for people who came to him. They were important in the use of his time. He was constantly assured he was walking in his Father's plan. He constantly did that. He saw, what is God's will for my life? Is this the timing? He took care of every contingency. His calendar was arranged, he understood it, by the Father. And by that communion with himself, with the Father, he knew what was right and what to do. He was constantly saying it. Was this his father's will? Was this his Father's work? He constantly said that. John 14:10. Jesus' hours were allotted. He said in John 2:4, "My time is not yet come." So he had a mindset, an understanding about time, that there was limitations on how long he'd got, and that he had to be making that time he had absolutely useful and in his Father's will. Even the beloved Martha and Mary did not induce him to advance his schedule. Here he is, his loved friend, Lazarus. He's dying and they're calling for him to come and see him, and he puts it off for a couple of days. And you might see this on the outside as callous, unfeeling, uncaring, but he understood that God's will and God's glory would be brought about by what was going to happen in the next few days. John 17:4, I have brought you glory on the earth by completing the work you have given me to do. Wouldn't it be great to say that? I've brought you glory on earth by completing the work you have given me to do. That's a wonderful thing to be able to say to the Lord. He finished the work without spoiling it, without haste or sloth. He had confidence that the work would be done in time. His phrase come out, are there not 12 hours in the day? He had no time for non-essentials. Strength of character are derived by refusing the unimportant things and not neglecting the necessary. Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. There's a sort of, I did say we can't get time back earlier on. And true, we cannot. But redeeming the time is actually sort of catching things up. It's bringing back something we've missed. We redeem it. We bring it back into play. We put it back into use and pray God that if we've missed something, that now he can accelerate what is done in a shorter time to make up that for that which we missed. Be consistent in your lifestyle and make good use of your time. Show the unbelievers your example. Also use the time to verbally witness to others because their time too is limited. Now, life is full of unexpected interruptions and unwelcome interruptions. You don't get this? You know, it used to be in the days gone by when I was full-time working and we were preparing a lot more sermons. I didn't have the others to preach as well as myself and had to prepare so many sermons in a week. And to do it, you had to be organised. If you were not organised, you would find yourself in problems and under pressure. And you often would find, and this is why I've got this in here actually, just as you're preparing your Sunday message, 10 o'clock is coming round the night before, shouldn't be done that late, should be organised before, and that's what I've endeavoured to do from learning from bad practice. Somebody comes on the door, they knock and they want your attention. What's your reaction? Do I say, I'll wing it tomorrow. I'll wing it. Or do we say, I'm sorry, I've got to continue with this and complete that which I'm doing because it's important. You see, I've experienced the fact that when people come round like that, or you're just going out to church, aren't you? Just getting ready, and knock on the door, it's Auntie so-and-so you haven't seen in months. What do you do? Now, this is a hard question to answer in that sometimes it's right to make time for people, isn't it? But other times, it starts to become a habit that, how come you always roll up when it's time to go to church? How come you always roll up when there's something important I need to be doing and then your time is all completely gone with that? You've missed what you needed to be doing. You've missed out on the blessing. You've missed out on your responsibilities and so forth. I think the devil sends some folks sometimes just to disturb us. Or is that just me? Jesus had unwelcome interruptions. Everything he did was in accordance with the plan of God. He remained undisturbed. Even though he was tired, remember the woman at the well? He'd had a hard day ministering. And he stood there, and as the woman came, and he doesn't just not do anything, he begins to speak into her life. He took the opportunity and the time to do that was important. You see, we can all feel under time pressure, particularly in these days. I think we live at a crazy pace these days. The amount of time you spend traveling, getting to work, the amount of time it's there, the pressure they put you under. I don't believe it was like that in times past. The agricultural calendar was very different. You'd have quiet times of the year. Why? Because it was dark. Simple as that. You couldn't do the work then. You might have been a lot more hungry though, I must say. You see, when you're organised, you can be ready for unforeseen events. Now, I've usually got one or two sermons in advance ready. Why? Things happen, don't they? And if I haven't got that there, what do I do? Now, some of those sermons I'll bring, and then when I come round to rereading, I'll think, no, that's not right. I'll put it to one side. And maybe it'll come back, maybe it'll just get left aside. Doesn't matter. But it's about that preparation and that being there, being ready, having things sorted, being organised. How many of you are organised? That was a funny thing when I working. I'd never know what I'd want to eat for my dinner. And I'd never be bothered to make sandwiches. Rhoda would say, would you like me to make some sandwiches? I'd say, no, because I don't know what I want. Then the morning would come and I wouldn't make them. Then I'd be going out and, of course, Carr's pasties and peas would call to me. And I'd be eating all the wrong stuff. Lack of preparation. Or was it the other way around? I was preparing for Carr's pasties. Don't know. But if we haven't got it together, we're in trouble, aren't we? It puts so much extra pressure on your life that it's unnecessary because we haven't thought to think. We haven't thought to plan ahead. I'm a great believer in lists. As I get older, I'm a greater believer in lists. In fact, I need a list to remind me to put things on lists these days. But it's like, think of it now, write it down. You'll find this as you get older. If you think it now, before you forget, write it down and it's there for you as a prompt to remind you. And it makes life so much easier for me. I'll list sermons I've got planned, titles, even if it's just a title. It's there. Ignore it later on. There might be something fresher and newer and coming. God speaking to you afresh. But it's prepared, it's looked at, it's, you know where you're going, you've got direction, there's some decisions that are there, rather than at the last minute, what do I do now, how is this going to affect, because one decision affects another 15, doesn't it? I think finally we look at one last issue, because This is a good one. Procrastination. Some call it the thief of time. I used to say when I'm meeting with Mexican Americans, mañana. When we're going to do it? Mañana. Tomorrow. We'll always never do today what you can put off till tomorrow. That was sort of a general philosophy. What I would say to you, do today while you can, while it is today to do it. You see, the thief of time will defraud our spiritual heritage. It is fatal to effective working. It is subtle and it corresponds with our natural inclinations to delay something we don't particularly look forward to doing, doesn't it? To delay important decisions. I'll do it tomorrow. And of course, tomorrow never comes. See, making decisions and carrying them out involves effort. It involves resolve. We've all different personalities. I don't know what your personality is, but mine's a bit like, if you say, do you want the good news or the bad news? Right, let's ask it. If you want, do you want the good news or the bad news, Keith?
The bad news.
He's the same as me. I would say the bad news, because when the good news comes, you've got something to look forward to. That is a mentality. Do you eat the best bit of your food first or save it till last? James?
First.
You eat the best bit first. You see, I tend to leave some of it. I'll eat the bit I don't like the worst. I'll eat that first and it's all right, but I'll get that over with because I've got the best bit to come. So don't go robbing off my plate, I'll tell you. Because you're licking my best bit. And it's a mentality that we have, and we've all got different ways of doing it. If I've got things to do, I'd rather get them over with. Well, you know, will I rather go out and have a nice time or get this thing over with? I'd rather get it over with and then go and have the nice time, not having all the issues around the thing that I should be doing still stuck in my head. Yeah. What's your choices? I'm not saying any of them is those things are right or wrong, but we all have different personalities. But we do, in some of those decisions, make problems for ourselves, difficulties, hardships, trials that we really didn't need to carry, but we do. All right. Making decisions and carrying them out involves effort. But through the passage of time, the enactment becomes harder. Do things while you're young. I think we're looking across a fairly young lot of people in relative terms sat here this morning with young families just getting married and still not married and all single couples, and you're in your 20s, you're in your early 30s, you're young. In fact, you didn't even become mature enough in scriptural terms till you got to 30. Set these things in your early life. Learn to use your time effectively. It will stand you in good stead. It's something that won't disappear from you. It's something that will multiply itself out in your life as the time goes forward. You will have learned to discipline. You'll have learned to take responsibility. You'll have learned to do things while you can, while they're there, because things change. And I'm sorry to say, the speed of change in this world right now is accelerating and accelerating and accelerating. I believe the end is close, but regardless, time is accelerating. And you and I have to learn to deal with that in the difficulties of all the things that go alongside that. You and I need to learn to use our time effectively. Having said all of that, there's the unsaved. How long have they got? We don't know. We need to take the opportunity to share our faith with others. The gospel, the true gospel. I don't mean some sort of weak need, give Jesus a chance. I'm talking about repentance. I'm talking about a changed life, a turning away from sin and serving God. Acts, I'll close now, in Acts 26, 18. To open their eyes and turn them from darkness unto light, from the power of Satan to God, so that they might receive forgiveness of sins and place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. We want to see salvation, don't we?
Yes.
We want to see the unredeemed, the saved, turn into God and changed. And that takes us using some of our time too. Let's just pray.